Barely a day passes without news of the tightening grip of the drought in the desert Southwest. There's drought shaming on social media, where photos of water wasting are being posted online. California's governor seeking a 25% drop in water use. Just days ago, federal water managers predicted Lake Mead will drop to unprecedented low levels in January 2017. The Associated Press said when that happens, Nevada's share of Lake Mead would drop 4.3%, equal to about 26,000 homes. Pat Mulroy knows all about our water supply. She is the former head of the Southern Nevada Water Authority and now the senior fellow for climate adaptation and environmental policy at Brookings Mountain West. Pat Mulroy, welcome back to KNPR.
Glad to be here.
In the Associated Press story about all of this, the measurement of levels and such, water managers say, in essence, something along the lines of relax and don't worry. Shouldn't they be telling people that they might need to prepare to stock up on water, perhaps?
Well, Dave, this is exactly why back in 2003 we began the aggressive conservation plan that all the entities enacted and that has produced 40% water reductions. You have to remember, Southern Nevada last year only used 220,000 acre-feet of water from the Colorado River, and the reduction Southern Nevada will experience is off the 300,000. So we've already conserved it. That was the plan going in, that we not go into a crisis mode, that we not have to go to draconian conservation measures, but that we tighten our belt early so that when the shortages hit, we're ready.
The residents of eight states drink out of the Colorado River. Even with this drought lasting, there seems to be no end of new proposals for major housing development in the Southwest. It's not just in Las Vegas. Isn't it time for these states to consider, if not call for, a moratorium on development until adequate measures are found to deal with drought?
That is something that is both impractical and undoable. And let me be honest with you. I've said it time and again. It's not about whether you grow. It's about how you grow. I mean, look at Southern Nevada. We added, what, almost 500,000 new residents while we cut our water use by 40%. It's not about stopping development. It's about making sure that it is smart development, that it is water-efficient development, that is one that looks at and takes into consideration a very changed climate environment.
All right, so if the unprecedented low lake level is met as forecast, federal authorities say our water supply will be cut about 4%, Arizona's about 11%. What about California's?
Well, here's the problem with California. I mean, the Metropolitan Water District will experience a setback, and they will no longer be able to take water they have in storage in Lake Mead. However, back in the 60s, there was an unfortunate Supreme Court case that was then retaliated upon by California. And how that translates in lay terms is that Arizona has to bear the full brunt of any shortage that California would experience normally until, in theory, Arizona has a shortage of 1.2 million acre-feet. Now, in today's context, that sounds a little out of whack. Arizona has been preparing for this moment by storing water in groundwater basins, and they intend to pump that groundwater when these shortages begin to occur.
Now, with all of the news that we're hearing about this and considering some of the numbers, including the ones you just mentioned, Las Vegas's population has grown so much in the last 20 years or so, and yet water consumption has dropped in the valley. It's starting to feel like California, in some ways, just ignored the drought and still may not be doing enough to deal with it.
Well, I think right now California's got very few arrows in their quiver, and they're going to have to engage in some far more dramatic conservation measures. They have been working on conservation, but it hasn't been as aggressive as it has been here in Nevada. The debate in California is between the agricultural sector and the urban sector, which, in my view, is an unfortunate discussion. Everybody has their hardened positions. People are simply saying the same things over and over again. It seems to be stuck in the mud. I mean, Governor Brown wants to resolve the issue. He's having a hard time getting some of the more entrenched opponents off the dime. But I think this is a real transformational moment for the state of California.
What you're saying sounds fairly dire, given the circumstances, but it also sounds like it's something that's going to be felt for many, many years to come in California and in the Southwest overall.
There were always the skeptics that said, yeah, she's just saying Chicken Little, sky's going to fall. We've said all along, look, climate scientists are saying that the chances that the Colorado River Basin is going to experience a greatly reduced flow is pretty high. So any water manager or anybody that wanted to be dismissive of that, they are now going to face the consequences. This was to be expected, and it's going to change the way we in the Southwest, and quite honestly, in the entire Colorado River Basin, use water. This isn't 1960. This isn't 1970. This isn't even 1990. We have to own the things that we did wrong in the past. We have to own all the old confrontations we had that got us nowhere and really just created greater problems for us, and say, look, it's time for us to take stock of how we use water in an urban environment, how we use water in an agricultural environment, what the true environmental needs are, and find a new balance point.
Should authorities, as part of that balance point, authorities in California, give some thought to the possibility of buying out some of the farmers who are in the Central Valley and letting some of those fields go dry to save water?
To me, that sounds like a short-term measure. Mm-hmm. I mean, California is such a large part of this country's food supply. The farmer may come out of this all right, but look at all the farm workers. Look at all the communities of farm workers who aren't going to be receiving any of that money. They're the ones that are going to really feel the consequences of it. So there are real societal impacts. I think rotational fallowing is important. Right now, they're facing the consequences of inaction. There are a lot of issues around California water that could have been resolved a decade ago, and now they have so few arrows in their quiver that they have to go to draconian measures.
Have we reached a point, Pat Mulroy, where we don't necessarily have time to wait? Maybe we shouldn't worry, as you said a few minutes ago, but are we at a point where we don't really have time to wait and see what happens if we get some relief from the drought or if we figure out another way to divvy up the water?
I think it would be completely irresponsible for us to wait to see if the drought is relieved. What any community and the river community needs to do is figure out and accept that need will drop further and begin to get their heads around the next generation of agreement. And to sit around and say, well, there very well may be several wet years and we won't have to deal with that issue, to me is singularly irresponsible. I would rather see the entire river community in the same place Southern Nevada is, where we expected it, we're ready for it, and this community is going to get through it just fine. And we have to talk about, how do we augment the system? How are we going to secure future water supplies for the entire Colorado River community?
Pat Mulroy is the former head of the Southern Nevada Water Authority and now the Senior Fellow for Climate Adaptation and Environmental Policy at Brookings Mountain West. Pat, thanks once again for joining us.
Thank you.